Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive. You could not ask for a more comfortable, pleasant day in October. This is perfect fall weather. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. Hope everybody enjoying it, nearly as much as I have today. It's been a great day to be outside. Great weather for football. Got some big high school football action on tap tonight. And then tomorrow night over at Jordan-Hare Stadium, Auburn hosting the Georgia Bulldogs. So should be beautiful, beautiful, perfect football weather for this. You know, it'll be crisp, but it's not going to be cold. I think the low is supposed to be around the mid-50s tomorrow, but that won't happen until well after the ball game. So should be just great weather for that. We're here, Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio today. Here to talk with you. Love to get your thoughts on tomorrow's matchup. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, but obviously primarily talking Auburn, Georgia. Tons of folks in town.
Weather should be no factor tomorrow, like you were saying.
Oh, absolutely not.
You think it's probably something approximating this as you approach kickoff tomorrow, which is... Yeah, I mean it's gonna maybe flirt with the mid-70s.
It'll be 70-ish or so at kickoff or upper 60s but it's not gonna be cold.
And it could be what in the low 60s when you leave the stadium potentially.
It could be approaching 60.
Yeah,
by the time the game's over.
Yeah, could be a really nice really nice October weekend. Sort of what you hoped for weather-wise when you moved the Georgia game to earlier in the season, because these games. Coach, when you were and you coached in a couple of Auburn Georgia games, they were all November games, right?
November,
and some of those, the elements could play a factor in what you saw on the field.
Yeah, no doubt. It was always our second to last game, and then after Georgia, we got to play Alabama. So, cold days both places.
Oh yeah, so that's not going to be a factor.
You know, I kind of like, and I understand that it's tinkering with tradition. I don't mind the Georgia game being a little bit earlier in the season, especially if you're dead set on Auburn, Alabama finishing the year and always being the Thanksgiving Day thing, which we would hope the SEC's not going to tinker with that, and I would think maybe. Try to play more of the biggest games of the season.
Spread them out a little bit.
Well, no, but I would say think about, besides just Auburn-Alabama, like more teams having one of, if not their biggest conference game of the season, Thanksgiving weekend, makes some sense. I know some teams are playing, some teams are playing like the Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech kind of rivalry games.
Right.
But there are other teams where you could have some of those enormous, I think you're playing Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. That weekend, and that could be become a new tradition.
Ole Miss is usually on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, you got the Egg Bowl that weekend. But with if you're not going to mess with that weekend, I'm fine with playing some of the other big games. Move them around the schedule, and Auburn Georgia being, an early October tradition would be just fine. I think
late September. I was going to say especially if you're going to keep them both. At the same, either both at home or both on the road.
I know there are
a lot of people would love to get that changed, but that there's a lot involved in that. You've got to play you've got to play consecutive games away from your venue, consecutive years away from your venue.
I think it made more sense when they were next to each other on the schedule. I think breaking them up and making them like, okay, well, don't play them both at home or both on the road.
Yeah, I agree. Now, one thing, and we'll talk, by the way, I don't think we've mentioned this. I did to you.
Yeah.
But we've got a very special guest going to be joining us next Wednesday. I mean, Jason Caldwell's special, and he's always with us on Wednesdays. But Auburn AD, Athletics Director John Cohen, going to join us next Wednesday. Yeah. And that's one thing, you know, that we talked, and we had some callers wondering about this. Look, when you have Georgia and Alabama on your home schedule, I don't know that you really need three other conference games, but that's the way it's going to work. And next year, Auburn will play at Georgia, at Alabama, and have three more conference games on the road. That's something I think I just don't feel like that is that seems like the balance sways an awful lot, you know, more with having five conference games, including Alabama and Georgia, either home or away.
I would have liked the SEC to consider, like, well, if you're playing at Alabama and at Georgia, maybe that's the year to only give you four conference road games.
Makes sense.
I'd have liked that. I would understand the SEC's point of view that there are, especially with this new format, there are a lot of teams playing two really tough road games in the year they play five.
Not but are there two really tough road games? Regular opponents, their annual opponents.
Now, I this is something to find. I don't know how much input the ADs had on
something we can ask John about. Remember, that's what some fans said. Why didn't Auburn stand up and do something? They may not have had really any say so in it.
Yeah, I mean, he could put out another, you know, strongly worded statement, right? But I mean, I don't know how much, you know, how much control they necessarily had there. You know, the Baylor game has been in the news a lot this week, and that's, you know, I think...
Absolutely.
Yeah, folks are interested about sort of Auburn's point of view on the positives and negatives of moving a game from, a home game, a home opener, to a neutral site game in Atlanta. We'll let John Cohen explain, what's in it for Auburn and what factors led to that decision. And it could be a fantastic week in that office, depending on what happens Saturday.
A lot of it's going to depend on what happens tomorrow night. So that's next Wednesday. In the meantime, obviously, we're here today. Love to hear from you. As I was saying, man, there's so many people in town. Downtown is packed. Getting around is extremely difficult. All right. I sort of came the back way in, and there is a heavy flow of traffic coming from the east.
Yeah.
Coming from Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Auburn tags, but I've seen a lot of Bulldogs as well, and there are a lot of people heading into town tonight. And you know what? If you've come across us while you're heading in town, we'd love to hear from you. Auburn or Georgia fans, what do you think about this year's matchup? What do you think about this year's team? And then if you've got some Georgia memories, Auburn, Georgia memories, there have been some just unbelievable events in Auburn, Georgia football games. So we'd love your thoughts here on this Friday. I got a call just before we came on the air, and tickets are at a premium for this game. Good friend said, look, I've got a couple I can't use. I need to get something back for them, but he's not even asking face value. So if you are looking at, so we're not scalping. Yeah.
How about you give out his email address? How about that? That's a good idea.
No, I don't think so. What we will do is, if you're looking for a couple of tickets that you'll be able to get below, the face value is $175 game.
Folks. Here's his cell phone number.
No, I will not do that either. But if you're interested, you can call in and we will get you in touch with Alan, who's looking,
So he has them to sell, or he has?
Yeah, he has. He's got a couple extra that he can't use, and you want to get something out. Man, you hate to all of a sudden at the last minute be holding a couple of tickets to ball game like Auburn and Georgia. If you know somebody that might be interested, that's fine. These are pretty good tickets. We'll do that. Yes, too. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Don, as Dan was saying, this always a big ball game. We talked about it a little bit on Wednesday. I mean, Auburn's always relied so heavily on the state of Georgia, you know, for talent on the roster.
Right, for sure. And like we talked Wednesday, Bill, we had a lot of players, a lot of really good football players from Georgia. I don't remember any of them not being a good player that we recruited from Georgia. So it's a special game. It means a lot to those kids and the fans so close together. Two great programs. And like we also talked, that we kind of swapped coaches, you know, a Georgia guy and an Auburn guy. And a lot of connections, like Hugh Nall was played at Georgia. We had a lot of really good players, like I just mentioned. And it was always a special game. And it was always a – something was going to happen in this game. It, you know, like the tip ball a couple years ago, the miracle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the blackout, the fumble we picked up and when we beat them, the goal line stand, the water cannons, the dog bites, always something.
I mean, the first overtime game in the SEC, and it was a 7-overtime game.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, there have been
just crazy. And I heard a guy on ESPN talking about that on the radio this morning early about something will happen in this
game.
Yeah,
it almost does.
Yeah.
And the hose game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So many things have happened through the years.
But, yeah, you're right, Bill. It's a big game for everybody involved. And if you can't get excited for this, you need to – I don't know what you need to do. Move, I guess.
334-321-1390. Tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to our first break. We'd love to hear from you as we just are underway here on the Friday Drive.
7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. And I think we've gotten the tickets. I think that situation... I didn't think it would take long.
I think
someone looking to move a pair of decent tickets there at less than face.
Yeah, we had a couple takers for the tickets from Allen. So a big pal, big shout out to our pal Allen, and yeah, hopefully he's able to make it work there. Coach, you went into different Auburn Georgia games with the season going a couple different ways, but it's I mean it felt like. It was always and in the era of divisions, you did have the chance that like these two teams could see each other a couple of weeks later, and in fact that did happen once in the division era. But it was always big. Right?
Yeah.
It was always just. I mean, this was a really important one.
Yeah, you always felt like if you could get one of the two, you were doing really good. You know, beat Georgia or beat Alabama. If you got them both, it was a super year, and if you lost to both, it was horrible. And you're right. A lot of things riding still. I mean, we got a whole season left. I hear people say, oh, man, we did this, we did that. We've had a bad year. You beat Georgia tomorrow, everything changes, and we're right back in the thick of everything. And that's the way we got to approach this game. I mean, you know, just go in, play hard, run the ball, stop the run. I think we have an advantage on defensive line like Bill and I talked Wednesday. And I feel good about it. And the crowd's just going to be – it's going to be amazing. You can tell it already. You can feel it in the air. You can see it.
There is a hunger, Don, that there's been. And look, the two-game losing streak on the road, I mean, yes, that's still there, and people are still thinking, remembering that, and, you know, questioning as to whether they're going to get anything. But
you're talking about Auburn's last two games? Yeah,
But you've got – that the opportunity is still there. It's there. This is that first one at home, and you can get right back on track with the one. That's what I'm saying. This is a hungry fan base that is just, you know, waiting for something good to happen for them to celebrate.
Yeah, I think they're probably there's a world where Auburn performs so poorly in those two road games that you go into this game thinking, oh, it's hopeless. Right, like there's a way for Auburn, but it would have required, I think, both sides of the ball would have needed to show you, oh, you're not.
Like, yeah, there's not. You don't have a chance. You can't compete.
If Auburn didn't play winning football on either side of the ball in either the Oklahoma or Texas A&M games, then this game would feel very different.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But the fact that you saw glimmers from the Auburn offense and two above-average performances from the Auburn defense on the road against two teams that people think
you're not going to see a better defense in Oklahoma. I don't care who we play.
Yeah, oh, the front seven especially.
I'm telling you, they're good.
Yeah.
Well, and you brought up a great point, Dan. And, Don, you know this. I mean, you've heard this for years. Defense travels.
Yeah.
Well, when your defense plays as well as Auburn's did on the road in those two ball games, then you feel like, all right, here's something you're going to be able to count on, and even it's going to be even tougher for people to be able to move the ball against them at home.
Yeah, no doubt. And
you're going to have that home field advantage that the Auburn offensive line was battling
noise
with for the last couple of weeks.
Right, all the false starts and stuff like that when you go on the road. And like Bill and I were talking Wednesday, we have an advantage. I really believe that in this game versus their offensive line. Because they're
beat up. When was the last time you thought Auburn could have an advantage at the line of scrimmage against Georgia?
It's been a while.
My goodness.
I believe we talked to David Paschal yesterday, and I believe he said that Georgia has started a different offensive line combination in every game this season, and the expectation is that even if they can roll last week's offensive line over from Kentucky to Auburn,
two freshmen.
Yeah. That's a line that included two true freshmen on it in Lexington. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's at home against Kentucky.
With this crowd, it's to our advantage, 100%.
Yeah, no question. We'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind? A lot of other big ball games on tap tomorrow.
Sure. Tonight.
I haven't really looked at tonight's.
Not major, but the one everybody's talking about is that the game with I think one team is undefeated, and the other one is one loss. That is
USF's in the house tonight.
That's South Florida and North Texas.
Yeah, USF North Texas, which is a good game in the I believe that's in the it's an American Conference game. North Texas a bit of a surprise in there.
5-0.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join us. Give your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. Before we get to the phones, Dan, congratulations on your Dodgers advancing. The craziest.
That is probably the craziest way I have ever seen
a team advance.
He just panicked.
Once Kirkering, once the ball, once he bobbled the ball.
And he couldn't find it.
I mean, you can see JT Realmuto's just pointing to first, and then Kirkering said after the game, he forgot it was two outs.
Yeah.
So he thought he had to come home.
And they make such a big deal about that, and we'll get to Tex in a second. They make such a big deal around the infield about it being a two out situation.
Two down. Maybe, the pitcher's got to know.
Yeah, I mean, and it just
good as he just came in the game.
And now I will it would have been he still would have had to make the play to first, right?
But he had plenty of time.
Yeah, and it's just
plenty of time.
Yeah, it's.
What a way!
And did Tommy Edman miss home plate when he came by the first out?
It was Kim.
Oh, it was Kim. That's right. Kim missed, running for it.
Not only does Kim miss home plate, the umpire catches it because the umpire does not signal.
No,
safe
he's watching
until
and Kim goes running back, and meanwhile the ball's back at the backstop.
There is no safe sign from the umpire until Kim comes back and touches home plate again.
Mm. A crazy, crazy way to wrap that one up. 334-321-1390. Who we got to start?
Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey guys, Dan was using his sexy voice to answer the phone.
I have to keep it down
because he's in the same room.
I'll tell you what it is. Is that when we have a third mic, Tex, the mic that Don Dunn is talking on is close enough to the phones that if I don't, I either have to mute both my mic and coach's, or I have to speak. I don't want my conversation.
You're gonna talk like that.
Well, I'm sensitive.
gonna do is Barry White.
I'm not calling anyone out, but I'm sensitive about the off mic conversation coming through on the phone in a way that maybe.
Yeah.
I understand that. Sorry, Dan. I just thought it was funny. Didn't laugh too.
Thank you for calling the drive. Who's this? Dr. Frazier. Dr. Frazier Crane.
So anyway. It's been a pretty fun day. Some friends of ours, Bill, that you know very well, gave Cindy and I seats at the coaches' presentation. Here are the coaches in the old indoor facility.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the picture.
Yeah, it is quite remarkable that we got to do that. So a couple things from that. Met Tahad Pettiford.
Cool.
Much taller than I imagined after watching him on the court.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. The perspective changes when you're standing next to them.
It helps when Janiah Broome's not standing next to him, right?
That's true. But the neat thing about him is we, you know, I just basically said, I love watching you play, and thank you very much for staying. And he goes, I love this place.
That's good to hear.
It is just amazing to hear a young man speak and talk about love in Auburn. So, and that theme is going to keep going on the three guys that we talked about after Crime Dog spoke.
That had to be such a fun. Real quick, before you get to Crime Dog, though, on the Tahad point, Tex, like, that had to be such a fun season last year. Like, I can't – I mean, his one season at Auburn was that season. So it's like, what a – I mean, he of course he's having a blast. And hopefully that continues.
But so what would be interesting is he – you could tell he was sincere by the way he said it. Mm-hmm. Extremely well-spoken. And he told multiple people that I knew that were there. So the next one we heard, Crime Dog, he admitted that they tackled poorly against Baylor. He said, I think you would have – the only way you could tell that we didn't tackle poorly is if you didn't watch the game. So he was quite honest about it. They've been working on it. He's very, very adamant and fun to listen to because he's kind of funny. I believe they're going to play extremely well defensively tomorrow. And, again, it's going to land on whether or not we can do anything with the football for more than one or two quarters. We're going to have to score in the third, fourth quarter, too. But I think we'll play extremely well defensively just listening to him and what they've learned and what the guys have learned over a period of time. So that was pretty neat. And then we had five gentlemen that were track runners that all had been in the Olympics, and their sprint coach was with them. Sprint and hurdles coach was with them. They were so much fun to listen to and then to talk to afterwards because all of them have been to the Olympics. And they talked about the difference between winning and losing in nationals. Our sprinter lost by 2 feet, which was 0.2 seconds.
Yeah, wow.
It's pretty amazing to listen to them talk and also talk about why did they come here. Number one, they love the coach. And number two, because they seem to have an extremely good relationship with him. But they all said at the same time that they loved Auburn. So it was pretty neat to talk to them. Got to see Scott Duvall, who used to be worked with the baseball program for a long time. So I got to spend time with him. So and Coach Pearl was there.
Which Coach Pearl?
Yeah, be more specific.
New Coach Pearl.
There we go.
Yes. BP wasn't there. Current Coach B. He referred to his dad many times as BP.
So
my mind changes to something else when you hear the term BP. But anyway, he ended his, like, we're going to go out tomorrow night and kick George's ass, was his statement at the end. And that's a quote. He was pretty dynamic. But he talked about this team, and he said he told them because of the intensity of practice where his team will have to play in 3 to 4 minute spurts. He needs at least 10 guys that can play. And doing so, when guys get tired in their 3 minute section, he tells them, don't come over and complain about playing time if you can't go for more than 3 minutes. So it's really it's intense. I think it's going to be a very aggressive game. But I will tell you, listening to who they play in the first 6 weeks of the season, oh my gosh, that's brutal.
They're absolutely going to find out quickly, and then, you talk about test after test.
Tex, I don't I don't think I've talked about this on the air yet, but the folks at so Troy's playing a tournament in Vegas later Thanksgiving week, a couple days after. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to try to go out there early and see Auburn and in the players' era, including that Tuesday game against what is probably going to be a consensus top 10 preseason Michigan team that Auburn's going to play in Mandalay Bay. One of several really big games early in the season to it would have been challenging for any team. I think a team with so many new pieces, including a new head coach, it'll be really interesting to see what's different between the beginning of November and January or so. You played Georgia, I think, to open conference play. Appropriately enough, mm-hmm. you played Georgia to start conference play. And seeing what's different about that team and the way they progress and the way they gel, I think that's going to be the big challenge for Steven going into his first year.
And he said, who's that they play? Oklahoma State in the
That's the first
exhibition game.
Yeah, that's the first exhibition game. Then Memphis is the second.
He said they're looking forward to it because they're tired of playing hard against each other all the time.
Sure.
So it's a great event. If anybody ever gets a chance to go do that, you should go in there on that Friday. It's amazing to listen to coaches that are quite honest and out front with you and get to listen to some of the players. So that's it. I think we play well tomorrow. I always think we're going to win, but we have to score.
Yep. Coach, can't win if you don't score.
On the Observer, a text on the Observer podcast, I likened Auburn's offense to like a baseball team that just got no hit. Right? Like they need to get someone on base real early. Like something needs to go right for the Auburn offense really early in the Georgia game. The longer it doesn't, Bill, what was it? What, grumbling? Like rumbling will turn to grumbling in Jordan Hare really, really early.
Yes, it will. And last but not least, we went to Raleigh House today on the way out of town, headed a little bit north of Auburn. So that's a big store, by the way. You guys were mentioning them yesterday.
Oh, you're right. You're right. So, it takes a while to look through all the stuff, and they've got it for all ages, all sizes.
Yes. All right, guys. Appreciate it. Y'all take care.
Appreciate the call, Tex. What a great segue. It's almost like we had Tex say, mention Raleigh House.
He's a company man.
Yeah, because they've got a big deal going on right now till 7 o'clock today and then tomorrow from 10 till 5. They're partnering with Image One to bring a Rally With Us event to Raleigh House. That's out Tiger Town right next to World Market. You get a free koozie or sticker with the purchase of any Image One merchandise while supplies last at Raleigh House out at Tiger Town. We're getting to our bottom of the hour break. Jay, hang on. You'll be up when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
This is Lee County Revenue Commissioner Olene Price. When we have the opportunity.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday. Bill, Dan, Coach Dunn, and right back to the drive hotline we go. And Jay is up next. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. Great show. I just want to, if you don't mind, and I do this with my college students, I'm going to kick the Hornets nest.
All right.
I was reading the Facebook messages about the apparent move of the first home game for next year from Auburn to Atlanta.
Yes, mm-hmm. Baylor.
And I understand that there's a lot of unhappy people in the world today because of that.
Oh,
am I correct?
Yeah, they're especially here locally.
Yeah, I would say the loudest voices have, you know, it's been pretty unpopular based on kind of an unscientific survey of reactions to it.
I can imagine. A lot of unhappy people. I understand why the move had to take place. For those of you who are listening to me, I would like for Auburn to do well in sports. I really would, and not only sports, but also academically. But we have to be realistic with this new collegiate athletic landscape. If you would, gentlemen, please go with me. There's a phrase called name, image, and likeness called NIL that is now taken over. And am I correct that it's now changed the landscape of college athletics, correct?
No question about that.
Okay. All right, so for those of you out there who's ready to say I'm going to not buy no more season tickets and all of that, go ahead, don't buy them, and that's fine. Because here's what's going to happen. You could go ahead and say, well, we want the AD fired because he made this decision, and I get it. I understand y'all hot as fish grease, because fish grease could be very, very painful when it's hot, when you drop that fish into the grease, or that chicken into the grease with the flour, and it starts, you know, spitting on you, and it lands on your skin. It's very, very painful. But understand this. That's a decision one must make. A, you could be mad at Cohen. Stay mad at Cohen. Don't buy no ticket. And ask for the man to be terminated. And then, if you do that, go ahead and see if you could say, well, Baylor, would you come to Auburn, and we're going to leave all this NIL money on the table. We won't take it. And then when the next recruiting cycle happens, we may not get the film that's on top of the cream in terms of the best college players for men's and women's basketball, softball, baseball, and, of course, the big engine driver, football. And I can remember the days of mediocrity. I really can. I can remember the days when Auburn had mediocre football. You know, we all can. Or you could be quiet, grit your teeth, not like it, support the kids, go to the game in Atlanta, and say, I understand, because if we want Auburn to be the best in terms of football, basketball, baseball, softball, hell, even Rover Red Rover, bring somebody over, you're going to have to get the best athletes that, unfortunately, money can buy, because kids nowadays, they come with a price tag. Now, if I'm wrong, please correct me.
Well, you're saying it's worth – I don't even know if it's a matter of being wrong. You're saying it's worth the sacrifice, right? And some folks would say it's not worth the sacrifice. What you seemingly gain from the Atlanta game doesn't appear to be worth the sacrifice of a one-time special home opener on Labor Day weekend for the fans and the local community. Because it's sort of looking at, like – there are. It's almost like there's a list of winners and losers,
right?
In this,
yeah,
this
there
decision,
are. I mean,
right?
There's going to be
depending on where you are on that list,
and depending on where you are and where you're located. I mean, if there's no doubt about it. If you're a local business owner, you're taking a hit, because it is, if not the biggest, it's at worst the second biggest home game that Auburn would have had next year because of when it's happening, because it's Labor Day weekend. LSU, I think, is the only game that appears to be something to be a bigger home game next year because you've got the four-day weekend.
The only one that I would, I mean, I could maybe bicker and say third because Florida hasn't been here in a long time,
yeah,
and people have that. But what kind of Florida team are you going to see?
I'm just saying.
I get it.
I think there would have been more Auburn people here for the Baylor game. There would have been more people in town available for an extra night. You know, you got a three night. You have a three night stay for the Baylor game, as it might just be a two night minimum for those others. But anyway, it is one of the biggest money makers for business owners and for the city of Auburn and for the local community. There's no question about that. Now, if you go further out and take a look, you know, from further away, what we don't know yet, Jay, is we don't know all the intricacies, the numbers as to what Auburn will be getting, not just for NIL, but for the athletic department, what Baylor's going to be getting. I mean, those numbers, and I doubt that, you know, John Cohen's going to quote us those numbers when we talk to him on Wednesday, but I don't think that Auburn would sacrifice 10% or something like that, just a rough number, 10% of their overall athletic budget just for some NIL money either. So there had to be a lot that went into this. And we'll talk with Auburn's AD on Wednesday's edition of the show, right at the beginning of the show.
that there was a lot more money on the table for them to make that kind of decision.
Right.
Because if I'm an AD and you're talking about only paying me peanuts, well, I'm not going to make that move because there's too many people have something to gain by us staying here. But if it's something that is worth my while to say, okay, I may need to take a look at this, and I'm quite sure there were other people involved in the decision-making instead of just one person, now we have to look at, are we willing to make the short-term sacrifice for the long-term gain? Because I'm looking at it from the long game versus the short game. The short game, okay, we all going to take a hit. Got it. I understand it. We don't like it. It's almost like taking the shot. I don't like to take the shot, but if it's going to keep me out of the hospital or if it's going to keep me from being extremely sick down the road, then I'll go ahead and make that sacrifice. It's almost like taking the shingle. You know, I didn't like to take shingle shot, but then again, I ain't getting the shingles either.
That's right. Don't want that.
You'll do it to, you'll do it to save the limb.
Yep.
Right. So the question that we all need to ask ourselves is, is this is for long-term gain versus short-term pain? Or, hey, I don't like the long-term gain. I just take the short-term, okay, give me the money now. The hell with the long-term gain. I'm just want to kick, I just want to kick the hornet's nest to hear what other folks got to say.
I think that's a really interesting perspective on a decision that, that probably had to include, like you said, some short term pain. But there is, you know, to hear Auburn explain it, there is a long term benefit to it down the road. That's good stuff from Jay.
Yeah, Jay, we've got to move on. Appreciate the call. Again, we'll talk with John Cohen, Auburn's athletics director, next Wednesday, right at the top of the show. Let's get to Mitch before we get to our final break of hour number one. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to bring up some memories of some past Georgia games.
Sure.
That I have. I don't know. I know you guys have heard my story about the 1980 Georgia game. I don't know if Coach Dunn has, which would be criminal now. back in 1980, myself, 10 years old, my brother, 7 years old, got dropped off on the west side of the stadium. My mother gave us $10 piece and said, go find an elderly guy and tell him you need 2 tickets, but you only have $10. And back then, they were $10 face value. So, first guy that we approached, it was a young girl, well, not an older gentleman, but...
oh, you were a kid. They all seemed old, but anyway...
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, this guy was probably in his 20s or 30s. But anyway. So I was like, hey, well, my mother told us, like, get 2 tickets for $10. You get an extra $10 and get hot dogs, Coke, et cetera. And so I was like, well, how much do you want? He goes, $10 a piece. I was like, well, I've only got $10. And my brother goes, Mama gave me $10 too. Like, okay, never mind. So we did find an older gentleman that sold us 2 tickets for $10, and we went in, we watched the game. That was, you know, Georgia's year, winning the national championship. Herschel Walker was a freshman, all that stuff and everything. And then we walked home from the stadium after the game, and we lived on Camellia Drive. Right off of Gate, in between Gay Street and Rice Mill Road. If you did that now, they'd probably throw you under the jail. So that was 1980. 1982, we come back. Better seats that year. We didn't get dropped off, but that's when Georgia had that
Herschel
line stand.
Yeah, they had Herschel, too.
I think they beat us
19-14. Yep. Auburn did a great job against Herschel, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, but then, and then in 83, I was good friends with Lee Dempsey, whose mother was the mayor at the time, and watched the game at his house. And then after it was over with, we went up to his older sister, who had her driver's license at the time, drove us up to Toomer's Corner, and I remember there was they were throwing sugar cubes and sugar all over the place.
Oh, that's right.
We were going to the Sugar Bowl for the first time since, I think, Bill, what, like 1971?
Yes. Yeah, against Oklahoma.
Right. So, and then the last one, 2013, I'm in North Carolina, final years of my military career, all decked out. The wife and I are standing behind the couch watching the big screen TV. You know, it's fourth and whatever. And I was like, oh, I'm going to lose this game. And then they throw that Hail Mary, and we score. And I think I jumped into the ceiling fan.
Is that what happened to you, Mitch?
Yeah. Well, that's not why I'm short. But
explains everything else.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, those are some of the memories I have of the Georgia game. And I know you brought it. I think you brought it up yesterday or Wednesday, Bill. The 78 game.
Yeah.
I was actually there too for that one. I think we were in the south end zone.
I think everybody was in the south end zone. Everybody feels like they were sitting in the south end zone. I was not, but I had a better view. I had a better angle. I was actually in the press box. Had a much better view than the official did. I can tell you that.
Right, but the touchdown that he supposedly scored was in the south end zone, right?
Yes, it was. Yes, indeed, it was.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, that's all I got. War Eagle.
Thank you.
All right, Mitch. Good hearing from you.
Great stuff.
We need to get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes of hour number one. Right back to The Drive hotline. And Brett is next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. Bill and Dan. You know, Auburn used to have open basketball practices on days of football game. Are they having any of those this year?
I have not heard about any. In fact, I was sort of waiting for – I mean, I knew that the downtown, the tip-off at Toomer's thing had been shelved, you know, kind of indefinitely. But I was waiting for, like, some sort of open practice, you know, Midnight Madness, meet the team, maybe in the
transition.
Yeah.
That we sort of lost that.
In the world.
Lost in transition?
Yeah. In the world, the whirlwind around Steven ascending to the job, you know, I would hope that maybe there's some plan, but I don't know if there's anything the docket for tomorrow.
That's a great question, and it would be something, obviously, people would love to see.
Yeah, no doubt. I would certainly like to slide over there and watch it
tomorrow.
But, I'm like, y'all hadn't heard a thing about it. Well, Dan, you know, if there's no way to win it if you're not in it, and so far we're still in it.
Yeah, it feels, you know what, and maybe the Brewers can do it. I wouldn't count them out or anything, but it's felt like we're getting a Dan versus Drew Dodgers Cubs NLCS for a little while now. I want to see what happens in that game.
Pressure's
five,
on the Brew Crew now.
Love that the Dodgers. You know what? And honestly, like we said before that series started. Like, there's so much pressure on the home team in a best of five.
Yeah.
Especially if you drop one of them. And the way Snell's pitching, you know, I love being able to take a guy like that on the road.
Yep.
in a best of five. And yeah, just the Snell and with the way Glasnow delivered last night, the thought that you can go Snell, Glasnow, Yamamoto is a. I mean, if any of those guys are on. Right, like they're good enough to shut down.
You don't
down
have
the
to
player.
Worry about best of five now.
No, that's what I mean. But being able to throw those guys in a best of seven, and if you want to stick with Otani as a starter, you can. It could be more of a touch and go. Probably not seeing Kershaw anymore in this postseason series.
Probably,
but what a run! What a run! What a run he's had! And hopefully the offense can heat up a little bit because I love the way they're pitching.
Yeah, you know, it'll really be something special if, obviously, if they can win up back-to-back. But for Kershaw, all those years, everybody says, you know, he's not able to win a World Series championship and then pull off three in last six years. That'd be huge.
One of my all-time favorites.
Me too. All right, guys. Have a great evening.
All right, Brett. Good hearing from you. And with that, we are out of time here in hour number one. Halfway done with the Friday show. Bill, Dan, and Don. Got another hour to go, though, so come on in and join us.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in hour number two of the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill Cameron, Dan Peck, Coach Don Dunn hanging out with us on a Friday as Auburn gets ready for a big one against Georgia. Any luck, Bill? All right. I think you got to assume it's gone, right?
Yeah. Oh, well.
We can ask the listeners to search for it.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
No, it's hour number two. It's not lost. We've got an hour left to go here on the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Don, Coach Don Dunn joining us here on this Friday, eve of Auburn, Georgia, tomorrow night.
You made a point as we were starting the show, that there's still a lot of excitement and a lot of enthusiasm, and I don't think it's just coming from Georgia people about this game tomorrow night.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, I think Auburn, there's also some concern in the aftermath of those two performances, and especially the offense against Texas A&M. But it's like, I mean, there have been games, even home games, where Auburn went in thinking, oh, it's going to take, it's going to take more than just your best effort to beat Georgia. I think this one, it feels like the talent is a little bit closer.
Oh, yeah.
Auburn, clearly you need to reverse some recent trends, but with the way your defense is played and with the thought that you've got that potential on offense, I mean, I was asking Coach during the break, Bill, what's it going to take from Auburn to stabilize things, to figure this out, to turn the corner, and Coach, you were thinking the potential seems like the talent seems like it's there on offense.
Yeah, no doubt, I agree with you. And like we were talking off air, we have to establish the run. I really believe that. Don't give up on it if things don't go well early. Stay with it. Keep pounding the ball. That's going to open up the passing game, which. No doubt, that's what our offense wants to do. We don't need to throw the long fade balls. I think we need to go underneath some more. Easy for me to sit here in the studio and say all that, but run the football.
Is the thinking behind underneath? Is that alleviate the pressure on your offensive line?
Yeah, you get rid of the ball quicker. They're going to put their best cover guys on our top receivers.
I thought it was really interesting, though, Don. Yesterday, David Paschal, who has followed Georgia for a long time, pointed out that Georgia's biggest problem defensively has been tracking the ball in the air. They've given up some big plays through the air as their defensive backs seem to have trouble judging where the ball is. I think you've got to, you've got to take some shots, but you need to be in position where you're taking those shots where it's not putting you into tough yardage situations.
Right. I agree. They had some trouble. I think it was Alabama losing the ball.
And Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee too. Yeah, it'll be interesting, but I really feel good about our chances. And again, I keep saying this over and over, we have to dominate their offensive line, and we should with the situation going into this game.
Early again, I can't stress how important I think early success would be for Auburn. I mean, they really The crowd's going to be amped and ready to go.
They'll be there.
But they're also waiting for something to just lose their minds over.
Yeah. Dan and I were talking off air. It's, you know, confidence. We need something good to happen.
Yeah.
And not say, oh, no, here we go again. And that's human nature. When you've been snake bit a couple of times, if something goes wrong early, like you said, Bill, really early, we tend to panic, and the fans, you know, start panicking. Everybody panics.
I'll tell you what. You know what I want to find out about is that Auburn's rush defense has fantastic numbers.
Yeah.
I would say the asterisk there would be between Baylor, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M, I wonder if you faced a team that really wants to pound the
football.
Commit
to the run like Georgia? No. A&M's the best running team of those three.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and yes, there are a couple
of... And they're not a great running team.
There are a couple of 40-plus yard runs that skew this number, but Georgia went 33 for 227 against Alabama.
Yeah.
And they ran for four plus a carry on the ground against Kentucky last week. Mm-hmm. And with Gunnar Stockton playing his second career road game, mm-hmm. I mean, Georgia's going to... You've encountered Mike Bobo before.
Right.
That's a guy who will happily let the running backs shoulder a big load if they're getting if it's working.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like we talk Wednesday, it keeps our offense off the field. And it shortens the game. And on the road you want to shorten a game.
You haven't seen a team really try to attack Auburn that way,
right?
Over the course, I mean, Baylor has, Baylor is their offense, and they also felt like they needed to keep up, with points,
right?
And then Oklahoma and A&M are both really quarterback driven, and willing to, willing to let the quarterback, handle a big percentage of the usage himself. Mm-hmm. Georgia's different, and they got a couple of young running backs they feel really good about. One of them went for 100 plus against Alabama. Dylan Bell had the 43-yard run.
Yeah, Dylan Bell's a guy you've got to watch out. 86, I believe. Mm-hmm. You've got to be aware of where he is. They want to get the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. He'll come on jet sweeps. I mean, he'll line up in the backfield as a running back. I mean, they'll do whatever they can to try to get him the ball, especially in space.
Yeah, it was Chauncey Bowens going for over 100 on the ground against Alabama, and then last week against Kentucky, Georgia ran for 180. Bowens 15 for 70 in that one. Gunnar Stockton nearly had 50 yards himself on the ground against Kentucky. I think it's getting lost in because Auburn's been playing well as a run defense. I think that the Auburn's run defense feels kind of low on the list of questions going into tomorrow.
That's right. But they haven't been challenged like this.
No,
they have not been challenged at all. So I mean. Yeah, and that's Kirby and Georgia and Mike Bobo. I mean, Mike, wasn't Bobo Kirby's roommate?
And Muschamp's tight with him too, and he's in the mix. And it'll be good to see Coach again, assuming he's around tomorrow. But that's the last thing. For the things that have gone, you think about the things that have gone right and the things that have gone wrong for Auburn so far. Mm-hmm. Hugh Freeze does not need one of the things that's been going right to suddenly take a turn. Right, like he's trying to fix too many of the.
Georgia is running for 207 a game.
Yeah, you got a boat with some leaks, right? You don't need one of the you don't need a new leak, right? Yeah, while you got right. While you're trying to fix.
You only
some
got
of the
10 fingers,
and so the Auburn run defense continuing to play.
Yes.
Like you're trying to fix the offensive problems with the assumption your defense is giving you winning football.
Right.
I think Auburn's got to play Georgia fairly straight up tomorrow.
Defensively.
I mean, they need to be able to get after Gunnar Stockton when they need to without having to use too many extra guys.
Mm-hmm. Right now you're like games can't turn into shootouts. Right, until you've seen more from the Auburn offense.
Until you can prove you can score.
Yeah. Games you need to. Yeah, and that's something that needs to probably continue tomorrow. As far as the Auburn defense continuing to give you, every opportunity it can to win football games, and if the games
who's the best rushing team Georgia has played? Because Georgia's only given up 82 a game on the ground. Tennessee runs it some, but I mean,
how did Alabama run it that day? Did they?
They ran it okay.
Jam had a couple big plays, right?
Yeah, but that was his first game back.
Probably Alabama. I would say. I mean, it's great. Crazy.
And I think Tennessee actually has been a better running team than Alabama has up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama went 38 for 117 in the Georgia game. They were having some success through the air.
Tennessee's averaging 199 a game on the ground. Alabama is averaging 127.
And Tennessee ran for 125 on.
Yeah, so Georgia did a good job against a Tennessee team that rushes for about 200 a game. Yeah.
So, now Aguilar had 371 through the air that day,
and they were bombing him early. Man, oh man!
Yeah, I mean, if you told me
he threw for almost 300 yards in the first quarter. Yeah, I mean,
if Jackson goes 10,
it was like 260 something passing in the first quarter.
If Jackson can go 10 plus per attempt through the air, like Aguilar did in the Tennessee game. Then maybe you could stand.
Then maybe you could rush for less than 150. Although I saw a stat, I believe that Hugh Freeze has lost like one game at Auburn when his team's rushed for 150 or more yards. I mean that ought to tell you right there. I mean, you know, he can talk about committing to the run, but when you look at the numbers, they say if you run for 150 or more. You win.
Now the passing offense has been a work in progress those first couple of years, and I think the belief would
but
be.
Still, but still, running for 150 is the mark. That's what you want to be able to do.
Yeah, no, I think that the and you don't want to coach. You know, the term in driving school, right? When they used to show you those horrifying videos.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the
overnight
over. Show the prom night video.
Yeah.
Overcorrect. overcorrecting,
yeah.
Over like you don't want to. Okay, right. I'm almost. So you don't want to overcorrect and become an offense that runs it no matter what the defense is showing
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
It's about working in variety, right? It's about having different colors on your plate,
right?
Right. Like it's you got to find a way to work in some runs, some inside runs, some outside runs, some quarterback runs, short passes, deep passes, like
play action, screens.
I mean there's a reason that playbook has so many pages in it, right?
You got to use
the whole thing.
Yeah.
This weekend to beat Georgia.
Yep, for sure.
334-321-1390, that's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts on Auburn, Georgia, or any of the other games going on in college football, some big ones, a lot of interesting games. I think in the SEC once again, we'll look at those as we continue here this afternoon. But again, as we were talking in the first hour, tons of folks in town. If you're new to the show, we'd love to hear from you and maybe get some thoughts on this game, some memories of Auburn and Georgia.
This Texas, I mean, to look around the rest of the league a little bit.
Red River rivalry?
This Texas-Oklahoma game, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Is Texas
just going to be like this all year? Everybody keeps waiting every week thinking this is going to be the week when all of a sudden it's going to click. You think Oklahoma's not going to come after Arch Manning?
That Texas team that you saw in Gainesville, it's like, how are they favored over anybody after that
how
game?
How are they favored over Oklahoma?
Let alone an Oklahoma team
Oklahoma defense is, yeah. I mean, it is something.
And John
front, especially.
And I think you've known John McTeer was going to move heaven and earth to play in game if it was at all possible. It feels like. I mean, Texas is still the team that was picked number one in the preseason that all these people thought was as good as anyone, and they played Ohio State close in week one. Mm-hmm. But you're waiting. You've been waiting to see another place with an offensive head coach and a very highly touted recruit at quarterback. You've been waiting to see it. Like waiting to see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen it yet. And boy, would it be. Boy, would it be an opportune time for Texas tomorrow for Arch Manning to show people what all the fuss is about, because loss number three? Does 9-3? I mean, you win out. And are you in it as a 9-?
I don't know. You're in the discussion, but I don't know. Although I will say this, I did hear earlier today, I heard, well, there's a lot more on the line for Georgia because they're still in the championship picture and Auburn is out. Auburn is not out, but they've got to pretty much win out or come very close to it. No more than one more loss.
Right.
But a win, and Auburn's in the conversation again because your two losses have come on the road to top 10 teams, and the schedule is more favorable down the stretch.
And they're only two losses.
Yes.
I mean, I would say any SEC team
any SEC team that finishes the year with two losses is going to be – they'll make the 12-team playoff.
Now, you're probably –
that's my not-so-bold prediction.
You're probably on the razor's edge after loss, too.
Oh, yeah. You can't afford another one.
But that's also – I mean, let me check. That's also where the Texas Longhorns find themselves now with some tougher road games left.
Yes, indeed. They've got to go to Athens.
Yeah, some tougher road games left for Texas. That's
where a loss – Georgia might make that Georgia-Texas game almost a play-in game.
That's right. You got some big ones left on the schedule for both of those teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, second half of the year.
3-3-4.
Texas has A&M in College Station this year as well. First time in a while they've been to that one's in Austin this year because they went to College Station and won last year, but it's a big one for the
in Austin.
Yeah, they got some because they went Auburn back home last year. You know, with needing to win
losses
one,
both
needing to win one to probably make the college football playoff.
All right, we need to get to our first break of hour number two. Who we got when we come back?
Josh.
All right, Josh, hang on. We'll be right back with the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. 211-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio.
We were doing some Georgia, Auburn, Georgia memories. And, a lot of folks point to 2013. You know, that's one of the famous endings and famous plays in college football. But there are so many, I mean, Coach, the 04 Auburn Georgia win was a huge moment in that season with Georgia. I mean, it looked like maybe the last mountain to climb. I mean, I don't know if the SEC championship game was even sealed up yet with Alabama and Georgia still to play.
I think
you needed a couple with some other teams there in the West making noise. So I mean, those were big games.
Yeah,
and Auburn, and that was a Georgia team that I think a lot of folks thought was going to be in Auburn's position going into that season with who they brought back. Georgia was the team from the SEC that was supposed to be one of your national championship contenders instead. And Auburn, that was big night in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah, big win. Was that Rose Green's hit?
That's the Rose Green hit. That's
today. That would be he'd be out for a month.
Oh, yeah. You're right about that.
In Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Yeah, there have been some great ones. I mean, I obviously go back a little farther than you guys do from those games. Not, I mean, we're about the same age, Don, but I mean, just as far as Auburn Georgia games, I mean, there have been some very painful losses from by Auburn to Georgia. We mentioned the 7 overtime game.
Wow, unbelievable.
I can recall a couple of times where Georgia's starting quarterback wasn't able to go, and all of a sudden here's a guy that you don't know that much about that steps in. Now that wasn't exactly the situation.
Stafford,
remember young Matthew Stafford?
Well, yes. Now Matthew Stafford was a very big deal.
Oh, he was a very highly touted quarterback
and a high school teammate of Clayton Kershaw, who we've talked about earlier in the show. Amazingly enough, from Texas. And Stafford comes in with an up and down season for Georgia.
It felt like it had been more down than up. When he was coming in, felt like things were headed the wrong direction. And he came in and was fabulous.
And Auburn was still Auburn had an outside shot at not just the SEC championship at that point, but Auburn was a 2-loss team when there were a lot of 1-loss teams vying for the national championship. 1-loss Florida wins the national championship that year. Auburn was their 1-loss in 2006. And so, that you've seen some quarterbacks that people didn't necessarily see coming make big plays in this series.
Well, there was another one. Somebody is knocking on the door. We'll check there with them momentarily. He's still trying to get in. Back in, and I'm trying to think of exactly when he played. It was in the 80s when Coach Dye was here. Georgia came in, and their starting quarterback was James Jackson. Their backup quarterback was a tall, lanky young man by the name of Wayne Johnson from Columbus. And he was considered to be just a drop-back passer and no threat to run the ball. And danged if he didn't. I mean, he had an excellent game, but he also ran for a couple of critical first downs as Georgia was able to beat Auburn. So, I mean, there have been some huge upsets in this series. This wouldn't be a huge upset since Auburn is a slight underdog, but there have been
that's
some
amazing to say
really
too.
Big upsets.
I mean, because I think you're probably. I mean, it's based on recent territory. You know, if you could be in for a field storming if it's an exciting one late, right? I mean, with Georgia being a top 10 team and you know, one of the best one loss teams in the country, and Auburn,
I'd almost hope that
searching.
Not,
I agree. No, I mean, but I'm searching. You know, I'm searching for.
But I hope it's something that we have to be worried about complaining about. I'd much rather have that than looking out and seeing, you know, the stands half empty.
Yeah, the spectrum of where this could end up on Saturday night. And, you know, for Auburn, it's the same. I mean, from this could be the start of something really, really big this season to this could feel like more of an ending than a beginning for not just for this season.
Yeah,
depending on how it goes on.
It's a big, big game. No way around it. Everybody knows it. The coaches know it. The players know it. The fans know it. The media knows it.
How nice is it to come home after a couple of games like the ones Auburn played the last couple of weeks and get to play a game like this at Jordan-Hare?
It's you can't put a price tag on it. It's everything.
$5 million apparently.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Remember, I'm old school, Dan. We didn't have all that money.
334-321-1390. That is the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And let's get back to the phones.
Clay in Montgomery is hanging on.
Hey, Clay.
Bill. 1986.
That's what I was afraid it was that game when I was thinking of Wayne Johnson. With that was that game, wasn't it?
I remember there was a woman, and no one knows her name. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but there was a woman in a fur coat because this was at the end of the season back then,
mm-hmm.
when we were still in Aiden.
Oh, it was cold. Yes.
And she was on the field, and she was digging turf up out of what is now Pat Dye Field. And you didn't do that at Auburn. And
no, but we did it. We did it in Athens.
They turned those water cannons on.
Oh yeah.
And that was the only saving grace. Of the end of that game, because that was so disappointing.
It was unbelievable
had we won
to
that
see.
Game,
yeah.
Had we won that game, we would have won, I think, 8 in a row, because that was the one off
mm-hmm.
that they came back and won. I was at the 2000, and I was at the 2000, and the year we tied them
2078
22 22 no 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 oh. No late later when Bowden was there what was that year
that oh
was,
yeah yeah that was not been, not that was that was the
94
yeah that's right
yeah,
nine,
94
yeah, because that ended the win streak but kept the unbeaten streak going right.
That's right, because we were 20-0-1.
23-23.
Yes.
But the game, there's actually two games, because I've always got to go back to basketball, and I'll jump to it in just a second. But the football game was Ray Goff in 1991 And I was sitting in the student section. I was an attendee, a student at Auburn, and they stopped Auburn on third down, and they wouldn't line up, and the ball was fumbled, correct? You remember that game?
Yeah, is that the that wasn't Ula, was it?
No, that was a game that they did not stop the clock when the ball was fumbled.
That's right, because you had a game where the clock didn't stop, and then you had another one where if it had been called the same way, it should have stopped. I mean, it shouldn't have stopped, but it did. So yeah, you're right.
And there were, because you know there's lots of Georgia folks that attend Auburn University. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we let those heathens in to Auburn University, but
Clay wants to build the wall, right?
I started hearing 8, 7, 6, 5, and I'm like, what are you counting for? And I looked up because the referee was waving his hands, and it was a fumble. Or they didn't know if it was a fumble or not, and they didn't stop the clock, and Auburn was out of timeout. Mm-hmm. And Ragoff runs off the field, and I run down. Ragoff takes 2 bird fingers and shoots them up to the student section, because that was back when the visiting team ran through
right.
The student the section. That's yes. That's how they got into their locker room.
The old lockers.
And the only thing that probably is the worst thing, but the only thing that even comes close is Ron Gerser. Ron Gerser at a basketball game turned around and looked at us and says, I'm going to get your fat bleep thrown out of the game. And he was talking to my cousin standing right beside me because I'm not – and they came at halftime. They were like, hey, we know who y'all are, but you know, you got to calm down. And I was like, no, I'm not going to calm down. We didn't cuss, we didn't holler at the referees, we just
rode
were
him.
Cheering.
Yeah,
I want to beat Alabama more than anything in the world, but I hate Georgia with everything in my soul, and I don't hate them because I mean you're not
I understand.
You're not supposed to do that. But as far as a football program, I would rather beat Georgia than beat Alabama because they are the most disgusting bunch of fans and human beings on the face of the planet. And man, if we beat them tomorrow, I'm going to be the happiest human being just listening to your program right now.
Great hearing from you, Clay. And, yeah, you know, that's it's part of it, not a part of it. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they've won 17 out of the last 20.
You know what?
And enjoyed every second, which you should enjoy.
I get the sense
beating those teams.
I get the sense that's how Clay felt before Georgia won 17 out of the 20.
I think you're right when he's going back 30-something years. Yeah, you're right. That's what I mean. There have been some pain, but there have been some pretty joyful wins
and
in
they
this
were,
series.
And they were talking about taking this series away from us, right?
No,
after
it no, caught, all knew, they, all that they, couldn't happen.
All they needed to do
that
was talk.
That would have just been terrible.
Just talk to Clay,
yeah,
right?
Clay could have went and represented us.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join in the final half hour of the Friday Drive. They've got a tremendous selection and great selection of Auburn gear of all types for all ages, all sizes. And they brought Image One to town to create a Rally With Us event today and tomorrow. Image One merchandise, if you buy any Image One merchandise at Rally House, you will get a free koozie or a sticker to make your game day style unique. Rally House, which is right next to World Market, out in Tigertown, and that's going on till 7 o'clock tonight, And then tomorrow from 10 to 5.
And if you need your, if you need your orange gear for a wear orange game tomorrow, Auburn did reveal that the Missouri game is a power stripe, too, with the different seating sections, you know, rocking the, that looks, you know what, when folks buy in, the power stripe
looks
nice.
Yeah, it looks good.
The power stripe looks really cool, and I think all orange will be pretty neat tomorrow. But, yeah, go check out our pals at Rally if you want to get some new gear for the game tomorrow. Let's get to Marty, who's been hanging on. Bill,
hey Marty.
Hey guys, listen, love the show. I'm in Montgomery. I can't listen on the radio, unfortunately, but I did download the app and online. Listen as often as I can. Bill, when I first moved to Montgomery in '92, I remember. I think it was you and Jim Fife were still on the air here.
Yes, indeed.
Back in '92, yeah. But I got to tell you this. I grew up in LaGrange, so let me tell you. I graduated from Auburn in '91, but I grew up in LaGrange. So let me tell you, my dad, most of my family still to this day and friends are Georgia folks. Mm-hmm. So trust me, it's a huge game. I want to beat Georgia more than anything. But I did go to Auburn. But here, the game I remember – what year was it when I think it was David Green? That was the one that really hurt.
Ooh, that's 0-2 in the back of the end zone.
Was that 0-2? Yeah.
That's 0-2. Oh, that's 0-2 in the back of the end zone.
Some reason that one sticks out. One
I swear,
really,
there were, I mean, so many, it just felt like they'd break your heart. Yeah. But then, you know, we've had our share of doing that to them as well.
You're a play away.
But not enough lately.
Doubt. Yeah.
No, right. But I remember the Brandon Jacobs, the game in Athens where Brandon threw the touchdown to a Roman shoe. That was just, you know, I just remember things like that. But the guy Clay earlier mentioned the game. Is that the same game I'm thinking of? I thought it was '92. It seemed like Georgia just fell on the ball
and wouldn't get off of it. And the clock just ran. Yes.
Yeah. Was that '92?
It I'm not sure what year.
I was living in Montgomery, and I thought
it was here though. So that's probably right.
That 94 is the tie.
Yeah, probably was. It probably was 92. Georgia wins 14-10 in that one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that one because I was living in Montgomery and drove over to the game. I moved here in 92, so it had to be 92. So anyway.
Yeah, 0-2. You mentioned 0-2 earlier. That's Auburn leads 21-17 late, and Georgia needs a touchdown to win, and David Green finds a guy in the back of the end zone. And if that ball is, what, a yard further, then it's probably uncatchable out of the back of the end zone. But he dropped it right where it needed to go.
And then
reminiscent of Stockton's throw against Tennessee earlier this season.
And then the one that went the other way was the 96 game. That's when Charles Dorsey, all right, Mike Bobo was the Georgia quarterback at the time, and he gets tackled. The ball comes out. It was whistled dead, but Dorsey picks the ball up and runs, and it's like – and. You know, it's like it sure looked like a fumble. I mean, there have been so many just crazy, and that ended up, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the seven overtime game turned into the seven overtime?
Yeah, not yet. Bill, let me tell you, I remember like it was yesterday, 1996. I was in Georgia watching the game with a ton of Georgia folks. Yes, Georgia Auburn led. Seems like most of the game. And then you're right, there at the end. Yeah,
four
you're right.
Overtime. Auburn yeah, my
guy,
bad, my
Auburn
bad.
Guy
four
kicked,
it felt like
Auburn
seven.
Guy, Auburn guy kicked the ball, and they put a second or two.
Yes,
they
added time.
Back on the clock. Yeah, and Bobo threw that touchdown pass that sent it to overtime. I remember like it was yesterday, trust me.
What's crazy is lately, I mean, not only has Georgia dominated the series to the extent that Auburn has won one since the prayer. Yeah. Right, like the prayers in 13, Auburn's won one game against Georgia since then, and that game is one-sided. You know, 40-17 victory.
There have not been a lot of late game dramatics because they haven't been that close.
Except we do have a guy. It was in Athens, coach, 2005, when Auburn's got to make a fourth down of their own at the very end, and our guy Brandon throws to. I think he called him Brandon Jacobs earlier. It was Brandon Cox.
Brandon Cox
hits the
Brandon Cox to BC to a Romish dude for the
that was the last. Is that that's the last time Auburn won in Athens?
That is 05.
That's unbelievable. Because before then, it was like a foregone conclusion. Yeah. You're going to win most of the time in Athens.
Oh, when I was growing up, when I was younger, yeah, it was like the road yeah. team won. You know,
I mean, Georgia just took the lead over Auburn in Athens with their win last year. It's now 18-17-1, Georgia's way in Athens, and that's with the dominance that they've had in Auburn, not winning there in 20 years.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Unbelievable. My only fear tomorrow, guys, is, I mean, look, we're so much more talented. Oh, my gosh. I hate to say this, and it pains me to say it, but I hope our staff, the staff can put it together in the second half. I mean, I just know my fear is I just know that Kirby and that his staff are going to make adjustments.
Oh, they always do.
Can we make the adjustments? Can we
make adjustments to their adjustments?
Yes, exactly, yeah. Bill. You got it. But I'll be there. Hey, man, we'll be there. So War Eagle.
Looking forward to great stuff. Yeah, that's some great memories.
88,000 others going to be in the house tomorrow night.
334. Yeah, thanks a lot. 334-321-1390. And we got the Fanatic back with us.
Hey, Coach. I see that Country's Barbecue just got their alcohol license, so I guess it's just in time for the game.
Yeah, I guess. I'll have to.
Don may need a little bit of it after as busy as it's been.
Yeah.
Over there.
Well, I know one thing. We've got a lot of stuff going out tomorrow and tonight. Bet. Yeah. Larry was telling me something about that back in the summer. He got that license, and that's really a big deal for him. Yeah, for sure.
I bet.
Fanatics, good to hear from you. I was worried about you a little last night after after the way that ended.
I'll get to that.
Oh, my.
I'll get to that in a second. I want to talk about my remembrance in Athens. It was a cold night. I took my son. It was in the late 90s, and Takeo Spikes took over the game. He flattened receivers. He flattened blockers. he knocked the runners out of the game. It's like, nobody wanted to play with him. He was just an unbelievable brute.
Yeah, I mean, that may have been the one that I was talking about. It was the first one I took Scott to. Was frigid cold.
It was frigid
over there. Yes, that's probably that.
We were up there in the top in the end zone. So I want to congratulate the Dodgers. They had the relief pitching. They made the hits that got the run. The Phillies bats were really – I was really disappointed. This is the second year in a row they went into the their first game, I mean, you know, first whatever, their time to get in, and they lost. And they lost to a team that I felt that they had a better record. But, the big bats really disappointed me. Bryce Harper, he was 0 for forever. He was like 0 for 30 before he finally got a hit. And the game last night was unfortunate, but they had Phillies had guys on scoring position, and they were striking out at the wrong time. But anyway, the Dodgers they put it together, and it was sad the way it happened there with an error there with bases loaded in the 11th. But that's the way the ball goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's as much as I want to celebrate, and I'm happy the Dodgers season continues. Yeah, and I mean, I hate
feel
it.
Terrible for for Kirker.
I hate that's the way it ends, and it's going to be just a nightmare for that guy. And I hope, you know, the folks around him, the support staff, and everything's there, you know, reminding him that it's more than just one play. You know,
his teammates were all really, you know, right around him trying to get his head held up.
One guy doesn't
now,
win
course,
or lose
of
a
course,
game.
Of course, Fanatic, you know, the Philly fans are going to be real, really
oh,
nice
they're,
to him.
Oh, they're, but they had a chance to, early in the, like, 8th, 9th inning. They had guys on base, and they just they couldn't even hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you could say that was their fault, really. Going to move on to football and to the AU fans.
Well, real quick, Philly, because there was talk after It was on the TBS post show. Jimmy Rollins is part of that panel. Uh-huh. You know, there's okay. there's a question of what Philly's going to go, you know, where they go from here.
Schwarber and Realmuto, I know, are both free agents.
Yeah, I think Suarez might be one, too.
Yeah, I think he is.
They're talking about replacing the whole outfield. I mean, they're going to have to make some changes because it's the second year in a row they went in to should have won the series, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we got two kinds of Auburn fans tomorrow. You got the vocal majority that'll back Auburn, whether they're 0-5 or 5-0. And you've got this rising of the silent minority who are thinking, well, maybe it's better that Auburn loses so they can get rid of the coach. But I look at it this way. He's got two more games left. If he just wins one of them, he'll keep his job. But if he loses both home games and they don't look good, I don't see how he could
withstand
tough.
It. Would be very tough.
Yeah, it's going to be really difficult.
Philly on there's enough on the line tomorrow. And while it's worth talking about what Auburn might have to do if the bottom drops out, like that's a Sunday and Monday conversation. You know what I mean? Like we'll see if it goes, you know, if it goes really poorly, but I think Auburn's got a ton on the line. You know, Bill was making the point earlier. Some folks are saying, "Oh, well Auburn's chances of a championship season are finished." You know, Auburn's out of the hunt.
Look at this league and teams.
A lot of teams
that people expected or still think could get there have one or two losses.
I would say with a loss to Georgia, that's absolutely true.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you're 5-3 is not getting into the SEC championship game, and a 3-loss team from the SEC, even one with momentum, probably isn't making the college football playoff as an at-large. We had several 9-3s last year.
No guarantees.
That didn't make it. So, I mean, I think with a loss tomorrow, you can absolutely say, you know, Auburn's out of it when it comes to championship type stuff this year. I would wait for him to lose the game first before you dig that hole.
I agree, but if they lose the next game to Missouri and there's two in a row, and then fans saying, "Why am I going here? You know, to sit here and watch them lose."
Hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I think that's yeah. I think that if a you know if it's if we're in the middle of a slide, I don't think that you're going to have a whole lot of keep the faith believers out there. But I think a win tomorrow, and a lot of what went wrong earlier in the season doesn't really seem to matter very much.
Yeah, and it's a good time to play Georgia because this is what the fans want to win. If you know, it's coming up when, you know, the fans are leaning one way or another, and a win at Georgia would turn the whole season around.
Oh, so, you're right. This is one of those games. Georgia and Alabama are the ones that everybody, you know, really, really wants. As you've heard some of the callers, I mean, some of them want this one more than any of the other ball games. And look,
some of them want them more than air, Coach.
Yeah. Well, Auburn's coming off an open date. Georgia's played the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, the opportunity is there. Great hearing from you, Joe. We got to run. We will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in, if you'd like, here on the Friday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze. If you want the latest on Auburn football and the SEC,
ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Friday. Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn. All right, a few other ball games we really haven't talked much about here in conference. Before we get to a couple of the biggies, Arkansas at Tennessee. Both teams have had an open date. You would think, Tennessee should be too much for Arkansas. But this is Bobby Petrino's first game after an open date.
Yeah.
Going in, I've got a feeling there are going to be some points scored in this
one. Yeah, I think they'll play hard. I really do. I don't think they can beat Tennessee, but you never know. Don't ever underestimate Bobby.
Tennessee's defense hasn't been great this year. I do think this one could be a fun game to watch. LSU is headed to Columbia, South Carolina. Again, both of these teams coming off open dates. No, wait, it's at LSU. My bad. It's in Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay. A little different.
I South Carolina was that preseason top 10 team. I still don't believe in them, but mm-mm. I wonder how good LSU is, too.
Yeah,
they're talented.
True. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, 3-3 is not all that unusual for South Carolina football. I think it's the shock. The shock would be when you – You went 9-3 last year, and Lenore Sellers was your preseason all-conference quarterback. It would be a shock, you know, shock to the system to lose. And this was probably one of the tougher-looking games on the schedule.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
I mean, going to Baton Rouge, but it is, yeah. I mean, you're talking about teams that probably have to change expectations on what mm-hmm. they can do.
Yeah,
you know, South Carolina's they're back against their back is against the wall as a two loss team as well.
Exactly, like
they can't let any more slip away if they're going to make good on improving on what they did last year.
That is right.
Now, they thought it was 9-3 and wait until you see how you follow it mm-hmm. up. Well, chances to improve on 9-3 are running out.
Odd to see the matchup in Oxford this weekend.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Washington State coming to Oxford.
Yeah, I think this is one of the last times that you can use Washington State and Oregon State as your non-major conference, as your major conference non-con, because they were Pac-12 teams when Ole Miss scheduled this game. But it's Ole Miss has an ideal non-conference schedule if you're an SEC team that wants to win a bunch of games, right? They did play Tulane. Tulane's one of the better mid-majors right. out there in college football, but you know this is their major conference opponent in the non-conference, Washington State, and it's I think it's nice to have a game like that with some big games down the line, and Ole Miss looking to continue to recover and get healthy.
Billy Napier in Florida got a huge win last week at home against Texas, but they're on the road in College Station.
Yeah, second week in a row where it feels like A&M gets a road trip, gets a visit from a team playing that just played mm-hmm. like a huge home game. Yeah. And it seems like it, you know, trying to put Texas in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, it's tough to do.
And turn around and play. Yeah, I just think it's a nice piece of the schedule for A&M.
Yeah.
And if they were to lose one of these home games, just like with State last week, you'd see it as kind of a missed opportunity.
Red River rivalry, again, I think all of us are wondering why Texas has been favored in this one.
That's how Vegas beats you sometimes.
That is right. Alabama at Missouri. Have the Tigers got a chance there at home, man, after an open date?
Wish we had more time to talk about that one, because that's a huge win for Eli, and what a win it would be if they can pull it off. Bama can't let too many slip away if they want to be in the postseason as well.
Right.
It's a huge road game for them.
And then, of course, Auburn, Georgia. Hey, game day on wings tomorrow. Looking forward to that. 1:30 over on Wings 94.3. Auburn High football coming up in a half an hour on Wings. Lee Scott on AU100. That's going to wrap things up. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.